Welcome to the Journey Churches podcast. Here's a message from our pastor, Eric Reed. For more information, check us out at tjclive.com.
And so let's read together Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The word says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. Most people, at some point in their lives, or even throughout their lives, at various levels and degrees of intensity, are going to deal with fear, are going to deal with anxiety, are going to deal with stress, worry, depression. You're going to experience difficulty in forgiving people. You're going to experience difficulty and troubles in your marriage, maybe even doubts about whether or not your marriage will survive. Many of you are going to wrestle for a long time with why you've experienced certain things in your life, why certain things have happened in your past. Maybe for some of you, it is a divorce. Maybe an addiction struggle that began when you were super young and you continue to fight it even now that you're older. Maybe it's a cancer diagnosis. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's financial stress, career setbacks. Maybe infertility is something that's marked your family. For some of you, maybe it's what you've gone through in the past. Maybe you can't find Mr. or Mrs. Right, and you wonder if there's ever anyone out there for you. And I could go on and on and on. We deal with worries about the future, and we deal with things that we've had in our past. And most of you know that these are the kind of things that we experience in a broken and fallen world. These are the things that will mark the life lived in a world that's broken. Many of you can relate to that today. You're dealing with maybe one or multiple of the things that I mentioned, or maybe you're dealing with things that I didn't mention but immediately rushed to the surface for you. Perhaps your heart is worried and consumed by restlessness and fear about tomorrow that keeps you from having peace. I think all of us would agree that these types of things are not uncommon, but they're the norm of our experience. These kind of troubles, these kind of fears, these kind of worries, these kinds of experiences are not uncommon. They're the norm. But what I think we could all agree with also is that what is common is that despite the fact that we go through these things, not many of us live our lives with a lot of peace in our hearts. That while the troubles of this life are not uncommon at all, what is uncommon is to find people who are dealing with these things with hearts at rest, with hearts at peace, with hearts that are not consumed with fear and trouble. Now, it's true, many of the things that we experience in life are the result of things that we brought into our lives by our own poor choices. Many things that we are dealing with in our lives, with troubles and afflictions and struggles, we're often the reasons why, because of our own poor choices. These things are brought on by our sin. They're brought on by things that we've chose to do, and we're experiencing the hardship that accompanies sinful choices oftentimes, right? We know that that happens. Many of us are experiencing the fallout of what our choices have brought. And the Lord uses that fallout. The Lord uses those bruises to humble us and bring us to repentance when that happens. But I'm not specifically focusing on the things that we brought upon ourselves this morning. Oftentimes, the trials and afflictions we face are not the result of anything we've done at all. Oftentimes, the things that we're going through or we're worried about are not the result of anything we've done. They're part and parcel for life in between the fall of man and the return of Christ when all things are made new. In between those two poles, the fall of man, the rebellion against God, and Christ's return and the renewal of all things, the in-between where we live is marked by these types of problems. And it's this reality of living in a fallen world with troubles and trials constantly storming the gates of our home, constantly storming the gates of our lives, that the scriptures repeatedly tell us, trust God. It's in between those two poles that the scriptures know we go through that and still exhort us to trust in the Lord. And in this series, I've entitled, With All My Heart, we're going to look at how to do that. We're going to look at how we can become people who arrive at this place where we actually can say, I trust the Lord. I trust Him. My life is marked by a genuine trust in Him. Many people are familiar with the verses we just read. They're popular. And sometimes verses can become so popular that we're super familiar with them while not particularly actually understanding them at all. You ever notice that? It's often the verses we're most familiar with that we don't understand. We've just assumed the understanding. So what we're going to do is we're going to unpack this verse, not just today, but over the next 5 weeks. And some of you are like, we're going to do this for 5 weeks? Yes. And I think you're going to see there's a lot there that maybe we have assumed or taken for granted. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, if you're taking notes or any of those things, let's begin looking together at these passages. Let's begin with this first phrase, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. This is an exhortation. You could even go as far as saying this is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not asking you to think about something. Trust in the Lord is what we are being exhorted to do. We're being told to do something, and we're expected to do it. Now, what does it mean, though, to trust? What does that verb mean, to trust? It means to rely upon. When we're relying on something, we're demonstrating a trust in the character or the strength or the nature of the object that we're putting trust in. To trust something is to place confidence in it. So watch this. To trust in the Lord is to rely on the character and the strength and the truth of who God is. It's to place confidence in the Lord. That's what it means at the base level to trust the Lord. Now, the original Hebrew word for trust is really interesting because it captures an image. The image that the Hebrew word captures for trust in the Lord is to lie helplessly face downward. Think about that picture. Lying helplessly face to the floor is what the word trust actually implies. And you think about, well, why is that? Why is that what trust looks like? Because it's putting yourself at the mercy of the one you're laying before. It's making yourself vulnerable before them. You're having to put confidence in that. You're letting your guard down before them. Face down, back, facing up is a picture of trust. It's the picture of letting the Lord be the Lord. I want you to watch what it goes on to say, though. Trust in the Lord, and then the next phrase is, with all your heart. With all your heart. The description of with all your heart is describing the composition of that trust. The nature of that trust is not half-hearted. It's not begrudging trust. It's with all of our hearts. It's with our whole being. It's with all of our affections. It's with everything. It's with nothing held back. It's with nothing in reserve. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with everything that you are. That's what we're being exhorted to do. Now, before I go any further, I want you to just take a moment, just take a second to look at and think about the landscape of your heart. Take a quick moment to examine your life and ask yourself this question. Do you find that kind of trust in the Lord there? Do you see a with all your heart trust in your heart this morning? Or maybe I could ask it this way. When the Lord looks upon the state of your heart, does He discover a heart of one who is fully, without compromise, trusting in Him? Oh, the shame and pity that should be made upon our lives to think that we would not trust our Creator and Maker in every aspect of our life with every fiber of our being. It's to our shame and pity that we don't trust him with everything. And yet when you examine your heart, even as I examine mine, I might find that there's room and places where I don't. It says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then the contrast, do not lean on your own understanding. Here's what's really interesting, is these things are saying the same thing. They're just saying them in opposite ways. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, or lean on your own understanding. That's your two options. You're either going to trust in him, or you're going to lean on your own understanding. The idea of leaning on your own understanding is the picture of resting on something for support. Resting something up for support. So think about this. If you lean against the wall, you're expecting the wall to support your weight. You're expecting the wall to hold you up. Whatever you're leaning against the wall, you're thinking the wall will hold what's leaned against it. That's the picture of leaning on your own understanding. In this idea of leaning on the wall would be your understanding. The wall would be your ability to understand what God's doing and why this would happen and why he planned for that and why he didn't intervene in this. And you're leaning against that, hoping what you know and understand will support you. That's the picture. Do not do that, he says. Do not lean on what you can understand. Do not lean on what you can grasp or what you can comprehend. We're going to dive way further into this in a couple of weeks, specifically the danger of leaning on our own understanding and how to fight it. But here's what I want to do. I want to highlight what this looks like practically this morning for just a second. When we're facing troubles, when we're dealing with trials and difficulties, when questions about the future pop up in your mind, what follows from you? When your mind is racing about what tomorrow holds, or when you're dealing with that strain of that relationship or the fear of what might take place in it, do you trust in the Lord, or do you lean on your own understanding? Do you lean on what you can grasp or what you can get your head around? Do you let your own mind and understanding be the source of your comfort, your support, and your peace? Let me have you think about it like this. I want you to think about a drawbridge or a bridge that maybe is over a rushing river with rocks at the bottom. And let's just say that bridge is hundreds of feet up between one piece of land and another. Think about some kind of like Indiana Jones bridge, you know what I'm saying, where it's kind of, you know, it's kind of rickety and you're walking across it. I want you to imagine that the side supports of that bridge are just loose ropes. They're just loose ropes. How many of you in your right mind would say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lean against these ropes with all my body weight and just see what happens. I'm just going to give it a shot. I'm going to see if it'll hold me up. I don't think any of you here would do that unless you just are senseless. Nobody would do that. You wouldn't lean on those ropes because you don't have an expectation that they would support you. And yet, listen, friends, leaning on your own understanding is far more dangerous than leaning on those ropes. Trying to make sense of this life, trying to make sense of your circumstances, trying to control your little world with your own little brain is like leaning against the little ropes hundreds of feet above the rushing water and rocks. You see, so much of the trouble in this life and the worries that we deal with are rooted in fear about tomorrow. Can we just take the mask off and maybe just expose the hearts for a minute here? Most of our fears and struggles in life are rooted in our worries about tomorrow. We fear the future. And essentially, the unspoken question that we're troubled with actually shows up at the end of this passage when it says, and he will make straight your paths. The question that most of us wrestle with is, will he really? And if he does, do I like the path that he makes straight? He will guide our lives according to his plan. We'll get into that at the end of this series. Even when we struggle with past hurts, because some of you go, maybe not, I'm not really as much troubled or struggling with the future, but I struggle with forgiving, or I struggle with trust issues because of something that happened in my past. And here's what I would say. Even your past hurts are usually rooted in a fear about tomorrow, because your ultimate fear is will this be repeated? In your own reasoning, what you're saying to yourself is, well, if this happened once, what's keeping it from happening again? Or if this happened to that person, it could easily happen to us. You see somebody else's calamities and you go, if God didn't stop that from them, he may not stop it from us. So our fears are often grounded in a worry about tomorrow. Will he really make our path straight? That's the trouble that plagues most of our hearts. And if you really want to boil it down even further, what it really is a struggle with is we don't have control. Most of us are tore up about the things in our lives because what's being exposed in those moments is we don't have control. We don't control today. We don't control tomorrow. We don't control next month. We don't control next year. That's a sobering truth that most of us like to live oblivious to. We would rather live with the illusion of control than deal with the fact that we don't have control. It's a sobering truth that exposes the realities of our weakness, our helplessness, and our impotence. We don't have the power to control things. We're helpless and can't do it on our own. We're super weak and need all kinds of assistance. And so here's our options that we're left with. You ready? Trust the Lord or lean on your own understanding. You don't have control. You don't have the future in your hands. So you can either trust the Lord or you can worry yourself sick leaning on your own understanding. And most people live sick. This is where most of us live. I wish I could give a disclaimer and say, this is where most non-Christians live. But for us believers, we got it. We've nailed this thing. But that's not true, because this is where most Christians live too. Most of our lives are marked by leaning on our own understanding. The reason most Christians lack peace in the midst of pain is they're leaning on their own understanding. The reason most Christians grapple with crippling depression, fear, and anxiety is because we're leaning on our own understanding. And many of you right now, your inner lawyer's rising up. You say, I don't do that. I don't do that. But when you look at how you handle things, when you are not in control, when the recognition that you don't have control and uncertainty abounds, ask yourself this question. Are you at peace or do you worry? That'll give you your answer about whether or not you're trusting the Lord. When the rubber meets the road, not Christian platitudes, not little cookie cutter answers, not the Sunday school Jesus answer that all of our kids say. When I ask you, when life smacks you in the face and all the fears and all the things that you don't control are confronting you, what about this relationship? What about this job? Will I ever find Mr. or Mrs. Right? Why can't we get pregnant? What about this marriage? Is it going to get better? And on and on and on. What about my health? Would I live to see 50? All these questions bring you into a face-to-face reality with this. You aren't in control. Will you trust the Lord or will you lean on your own understanding? Gang, I'm not here to condemn you for this. I want to help you. I want you to live in freedom instead of fear. I want you to experience peace through life's troubles, not panic. I want you to be steady when you're faced with the reality of struggles and things you don't control instead of scared. I want you to live confident in God's plan for your future, even when your past is marked by hurts and troubles. That's the kind of thing that should mark our lives. And for me, guys, listen, I'm a fellow traveler on this road with you. I'm teaching you and sharing with you in this series something not that was collected in an ivory tower, but something gathered on the ground floor of suffering and pain. I've lived there in it with you. It's lessons I've gathered along the path of struggle. 2004, after Caleb was born, he had a surgery. There was a mistake. We knew they would be a life-altering mistake. And several months after that happened, I began dealing and grappling with anxiety, panic attacks. Never had anything like that before. I didn't even know what they were. I didn't know what was going on. First panic attack I had, I thought I was dying of a heart attack at 24. I was like, this can't be right. I'm in pretty decent shape. And then when I realized I wasn't dying, I then thought, I'm crazy. I'm a crazy person. So Katrina's the only person that knew for so long that I was dealing with, because I thought, something's wrong with me. I'm losing my mind. And what I come to realize is that these were panic attacks and this was anxiety. And I didn't realize that so many went through it. So many of you go through it. So many of you live with this. It's real. You know exactly what I'm talking about with those feelings. For some of you, it's depression and other things. But I loved Jesus during this time. And I was a growing believer. I was a growing Christian. I was hungry to learn and grow. But guys, listen to me. I did not have the tools to deal with it. I didn't know what to do. I'm having these panic attacks, and I have no idea what to do and what's going on and what's causing it. And this led to years of seeking peace and comfort despite those circumstances. And I sought the Lord, and I searched the scriptures, and I tried to develop a plan for finding help in my struggles. And listen, and I did. After 7 years of panic attacks, I finally come to a place where I didn't have them anymore. And I came to a place where I realized whatever happens in my life, I trust the Lord. And it took years to get there. And these are things that I've begun sharing with others if I counsel them or walk with them. And in this series, that's what I'm aiming to do, is to show you the things that took me 7 years to learn. I'm going to try to give it to you in 5 weeks. What is the answer to finding peace and comfort in the midst of life's struggles and hurts? What's the key? What's the secret? What's the plan? What's the remedy for the countless things that plague our lives and the fears that we deal with? You ready? Here it is. Trust in the Lord. Some of you are like, dang, I was hoping it would be something way more profound than that. It's so simplistic, it doesn't sound practical, right? It sounds like it's trite and cliche, doesn't it? To say, just trust the Lord. But it really is the key, guys. Listen to me when I say this. Learning to trust in the Lord brings peace and comfort in 10,000 things that can trouble our souls. If you can learn to trust the Lord, it will bring peace and comfort in your life for 10,000 things that plague our souls. And listen, it won't magically fix your problems. It's not a key that's like, if you just trust the Lord, it's like, poof, everything gets easy for you. No. It doesn't change your problems, but it does change your perspective. That's what flips. That's what changes, is how you see and understand. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we trust the Lord? The emphasis that I want to stress in this series, you're going to hear me say this over and over again, is that trust in the Lord is not something we turn off and on like a light switch. I think this is the thing that we've got to come to grips with. Learning to trust the Lord is not like going over and flipping a light switch and it's like on or off. I trust him or I don't trust him. And I can go just as easily as that and just flip that switch. That's not how it works. Trusting the Lord is not an act of sheer will. Gritting your teeth and trying as hard as you can doesn't produce trust. Trust is not something that generates like that. Listen to me. It's developed. It's nurtured. It grows. Trusting in the Lord is something that is nurtured. And here's how it's nurtured: in and through relationship with God. Abiding in him. Communion with him. The Christian life is not simply believing in God. Some of you believe in God. It's about knowing him. It's about knowing him. It's not just about putting faith in Christ for salvation. It's about how salvation gets you access to walk with God. You've been reconciled for relationship. Not just for one day in eternity, but for now. For now. He saves you so you can walk with him now. It's meant to lead us to a daily relationship with the Lord. Let me just say this to you guys. I love you. As your pastor, I'm so proud to pastor this church, and I love our people. I want you to hear this with all of my heart. You'll never trust the Lord in a way that makes it meaningful to your life to bring peace and ground you and sustain you. You'll never have a trust that brings comfort and peace despite your pains if you are not engaging in a day-by-day walk with Him. It doesn't exist. You must walk with Him. Trusting in God is not a light switch you turn off and on. It's the byproduct. It's the fruit of an ongoing relationship with the Lord. And it grows the more we know Him. Think about what's embedded in this verse. Look at it again. Trust in the Lord. Do you notice that? Trust in the Lord. It's specifically the character and person of God that is to garner our trust. It's in Him. It's not some idea of God. It's not some abstract idea. You're to trust in the person of the Lord. Look at what it says. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways, in all of your doing, in all of your living, in your day-to-day, acknowledge Him. Acknowledging Him isn't giving Him a tip of the cowboy hat. Hey, Lord, good to see you this morning. Hey, Lord, happy Sunday. To acknowledge Him, listen, the word acknowledge is just to know. That's the root of it, is to know Him. In all your ways, know Him. In all your ways, know Him. Walk with Him. It signifies fellowship with Him. In all your ways, know Him and fellowship. In all your ways, commune with Him, and He'll make your path straight. In your life, walk with Him and know Him. Guys, this is not complex. Think about this. Think about your everyday life. Think about how you develop trust with anybody in life. How does it happen? How do you ever develop trust with anyone? You come to know them. And the more you know them, the more you know whether or not you can or cannot trust them. Because you come to know their character. The more I know someone, the more I know whether or not I can trust them or not. Unfortunately, the more we come to know some people, the less we trust them. But the more we come to know others, the more we trust them. Why is this? Because the greater we know someone, the clearer their character becomes to us. This is why in all your ways you must acknowledge Him, know Him, because you're putting your trust in Him. The same is true with trusting God. The only way we can come to trust the Lord with all of our hearts is we must be engaged in an ongoing relationship with God in which we know Him. It's the fruit. Trusting in the Lord is not something you can staple to the tree. We talk about stapling fruit to the tree all the time. What does stapled fruit on a tree do? It dies. It rots. It's not inherent to the tree. If you want to trust the Lord, the roots or a relationship in which you're growing to know God more and more. And what I'm going to do in the weeks to come is I'm going to talk about the specific attributes of God that as we come to know them in their fullness, the blossoming fruit of that is trust. The more we know God, the more we trust God. And the more we trust God, the more we will be at peace despite our circumstances. Relationship with God and growing in the knowledge of who He is happens the way it does with anybody else. You spend time with Him. You spend time with Him. We spend time with Him in the Scriptures. We spend time with Him in prayer. We spend time with Him when we gather like this and we worship together and we hear His Word preached. Prioritize your time each day. If you have a job, then you know what you've done with your life? You've prioritized when you have to go to that job. You've prioritized your day around the importance of getting to that place at a certain time so that you can keep that job. I hope that's what you do. That's another proverb if you don't. Okay? Do you prioritize time with God? You don't develop a relationship with someone by the thought of it. The only way for me to develop a closer relationship with any of you here is not by seeing you at a distance. It's not even good intentions of like, you know, one day I'd really love to know Joe a little bit more up there. Boy, there's Joe. Week after week I see Joe. Joe, I'm going to know you one day. No, it requires time. And I'm just going to challenge you with this in 2021. If the Lord tells us to give him the first of our finances, why don't we also consider giving him the first of our day? If he's worthy of the first of your money, don't you think he's worthy of the first of your time? Isn't he worthy to hear from you before Facebook does? Isn't he worthy to hear from you before you start scrolling Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or any of the other gazillion time wasters? When we stand before God face to face one day, we will not be able to say that we had no time. Our social media accounts will testify against us. You get to know the Lord when you pursue him and you want him and you're hungry and you say, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul, oh God, pants for you. Men, do you pursue the king every day? It ain't girly stuff. Men, you all want a king to bow the knee before. King Jesus is worthy of your knee before him. Every one of us should prioritize our lives. You don't have to sit down and do a 5-hour Bible study. Just give him your first. Give him your first words. Give him your first thoughts. Come before him and say, I don't love you the way I should. Help me love you more. Lord, I don't know and understand everything in this Bible, but give me eyes to see that I might know you. I promise you, he is not one to turn away those who come like that. In the coming weeks, I'm going to show you specific things that we need to know about God that fosters and develops our trust. There are particular attributes. We're going to get into his sovereignty and his wisdom. We're going to get into his faithfulness and love. These are particulars that will deepen your understanding and trust of him. But I want to close today by exhorting your heart to trust the Lord your God. Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Those who trust in the Lord are like a mountain, strong, immovable, enduring, is what the Bible says. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That means in good times and bad times, we trust God. We pour our hearts out before him in prayer for help, in need, and he is a refuge for us. Trust in him brings shelter from the danger and troubles. And then listen to these words. This floored me as I was studying this. Jeremiah 17:5-9. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Listen to this. Unhappiness and affliction comes to the man who trusts in man, including himself, leaning on his own understanding. The person who trusts in flesh instead of the Lord is cursed, like a shrub in the desert that never gets water. There's no life. It shrivels. It dies. He continues. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes, and heat will come. Its leaves remain green, for it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Why? Because it trusts in the Lord. The alternate of leaning and trusting in the flesh is to trust the Lord. Then when it does that, it's like a tree planted by water. It blossoms, it flourishes, it has life, it bears fruit. Now watch how he ends this. This is the verse you're familiar with. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand these hearts of ours? We have a God that created us, saved us, promises to sustain us in all things, both in life and death. And how do we repay? We do not trust him. We do not trust him. We would rather depend on and trust ourselves. We would rather rehearse in our minds all the possibilities, all the things that might take place, being left to ourselves. We're going to be forsaken. We're going to be forgotten by God. The worst is going to happen. We lean on our own understanding. Is it not a mirror for our soul to look at and be repulsed by these things? That the heart that trusts the Lord is planted and bears fruit despite the drought. The heart that trusts in man withers and dies. And yet, what do? We keep trusting in ourselves. Who can understand these hearts of ours, Jeremiah says. How deceitful, how wicked that we would be like this. Our hearts are deceitful and sick. They're fickle. The God of the universe holds our lives in his hands. He promises to make our path straight. Yet we fret over his definition of straight and whether or not we approve. Oh, friends, please. Turn away from such wickedness today. If this is you, if you find this lurking in you, as I often do in me, rebuke your hearts for such wandering tendencies. Rebuke them. And turn to the Lord. He is filled with such mercy and grace that when we turn to him, despite our failures to turn to him, he welcomes us. He welcomes us, despite how many times we have failed to trust him. Think about a father telling their child to jump off the ledge. You ever done this, dads? I've had all my kids at some point on some kind of ledge. I'm like, all right, jump off. I'm going to catch you. And you guys watch this wrestling match. They're just like, are you sure, Dad? Are you going to catch me? Right? I got to coerce them over and over. Like, come on, jump. You know, I got you. And they're like, I don't know. If a child never jumped, then it was like, I can't. I don't trust you, Dad. It would hurt. Because we know, I've got you. There's no chance I won't catch you. But they don't know that. They don't trust we'll catch them. How much more so is it true, though, that we do the same? God's like, I'm here. I've got you. Jump. You're mine. I won't drop you. But if that child, despite all of their lack of trust, ever decides to take that leap, does any good father walk away and go, nope, you didn't trust me? Does any good father go, whoop, nope, to the ground? Should have trusted me 5 minutes ago. No, our arms are out and we catch our child because we love them. How much more so will the God of heaven catch those who come to him and trust him? Even when we before have failed to trust him. He will, friends, if you come to him. He will. If you'll come with childlike faith and trust, he will help you. He will sustain you. He will carry you through the fiercest fires and the crashing waves. So resolve in your hearts today to seek the Lord. Call upon him today. Every one of you. Call upon him. Resolve to follow him. Plead for him to stir a desire for him in you. Plead for him to nurture and create in you a passion to know him more. Who cares where you've been? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do tomorrow? Will you seek him? Then and only then will your life and mine reflect peace and comfort and joy despite the hardships, uncertainties, and the struggles that will prevail in this life. It's only then. It's only then. And may the Lord in the coming weeks begin a work in our hearts that would produce lives marked by a trust in him. May he do it for his glory and for your joy, I pray. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship as a church family. We thank you that your mercies are new each morning and each day. Lord, we want our lives to be marked by a trust in you. We want our hearts to be at rest and peace despite the circumstances that often prevail, despite the troubles, despite the fears, despite the uncertainties. We want to be people who live in this world not in despair, not in turmoil, not in fretting and anxiousness and worry, but trusting you. Not naive. Not simple-minded. But rooted. Rooted deeply into the knowledge of who you are and all that you have said you will do. Raise up a church filled with people like that, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name.